This is Megatron. This is the glorious Megatron. And this episode of the Beast Unleashed podcast features Stephen C. Phillips, Mike Blanchard, and Michael Wilson.
Hello and welcome to the world's first ever Beast Wars Beast Machines review podcast. This is the Beast Unleashed podcast brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I am your host, TFG and Mike, and I am joined by Steve Megatron. Hello.
Hello.
And Pecan Court Michael. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Today we will be covering a two-part story of Beast Wars Season 1. So, how are you guys?
Good.
Decent.
Decent.
Gratuitous use of mute. Thank you.
I didn't even do anything this time to even need mute.
No, that was me.
Oh. Well, you're not supposed to say when you use it, damn it, then they already know.
I'm just letting
you know. He likes the announcer mode.
He likes the announcer mode.
Here's my instant play-by-play.
I am now petting my cat. I am now playing with my Optimus Prime.
Hey, man, I am focused like a laser beam, so...
Ew.
Ew.
That's what? Not a reference I need.
What?
That is so not a reference I need.
Focused. You know.
So what's been going on with you, Michael?
Nothing terribly interesting. I keep going back to Kmart looking for one of those Nebula Starscreams.
Oh.
Because I dig him, he's green.
And, while you're there, you should have looked for Robot Heroes Frenzy. I swear, I'm still so pissed. The internet and Big Lots, and I haven't gone back to Kmart yet, but Kmart is so failing me now.
I thought that was Rumble, actually.
Well, it
the box
could have sworn when I first got that package, it said RC and Frenzy on it.
Yeah.
But everywhere else I've seen, even when I went back to Big Lots to get a picture of one, they had one left, and it said fucking Decepticon Rumble on it. Pisses me off.
Should have saved the box.
I know.
Must have been a typo. You could have sold that for a mint.
You could have sold it for $1 million.
Okay, Dr. Evils, we don't need you here tonight.
Satan.
I'm more than evil.
I'm more than meets the eye.
Oh.
More than meets the pie, what?
You totally missed Pie Day this week.
Yeah, I woke up, well, of course, people won't know this until Monday, but we're recording this Thursday evening. I woke up this morning, first thing I said to myself was, I want pie.
Why would you say that?
He wants to eat it.
I don't know.
He wants to eat pie?
That's generally what people do with it.
Oh, yeah. See,
you're into that
now,
kind of thing.
Here's the dirty mind kicking in again.
Yeah.
Dirty little mind!
What else?
Kind of pie, Blanchard.
No, we're not going there.
Kind.
Shut up, Steve.
It's so warm.
Oh, God. No, we are not taking this episode into a deep, dark hole like we did 2 weeks ago.
Oh, dear.
What are your children up to, Michael? Any adventures from Aiden or Gavin?
Yeah, I was going to write a blog post about this, but Aiden is speaking so well now that we're removing him from speech therapy. His speech therapist has said that he is age-appropriate. And bring him back when he's 5. So yeah, we're really happy about that. We're going to give him a couple of years and see if he gets his S blends down. But we're really happy. He was deemed apraxic a year and a half ago, and now he's age appropriate in speech. So we're all very happy about that.
There you go. That's good.
Yeah.
How's that vacuum cleaning riding cowboy?
He's very headstrong. Stubborn baby. Yeah, wants to do everything himself. And then whines about it when you try to do things for him.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, getting bigger all the time.
Yep. What's going on with you, Steve?
Well, recently I had back issues, so combination between multiple jobs and going to GameWorks and playing way too aggressively. But yeah, so I've been on muscle relaxers and painkillers, so that's been wonderful.
Wow.
Yes, I pulled a muscle in my back, which affected my arm movement, along with the fact that I've had random spasming in my back for the last few days.
Huh.
Almost last week. So yeah, I'm just so uber thrilled that it's going away.
Yes, that's good. Hopefully you'll get better. I'm actually surprised I'm even here tonight.
Why?
Well, I went grocery shopping this afternoon, or this morning, and, you know, I'm like, okay, well, I've really got to do something. I've got to start eating better. So I got a whole bunch of healthy stuff. I got carrots, apples, just a whole bunch of, like, really not, like, kosher stuff, but just, like, stuff that's more healthier than, say, ho-hos or ding-dongs.
To start, yeah.
Yeah, insert bad joke there.
Yeah. I want some ho-hos.
I knew somebody was gonna do that. But
I'm trying to be good.
We'll leave it to Steve to go down the dark tunnel.
The dark tunnel.
So, when I got home, after carrying the groceries up the stairs and everything else, I sat here in the chair for about 10 minutes, could not move, could not do anything, couldn't, you know, even hardly put the groceries away. After I put the groceries away, I had like this really horrible pain in my side. It was almost like one of those, like, shooting pains in your arm like you're having a heart attack. It was that hard of a pain. It just started going away about a half an hour ago.
Wow.
Ooh.
Yeah. I couldn't... Tried to take a nap this afternoon, obviously, before we started the recording this evening, and I slept for maybe 15 minutes, which is not normal for me, because normally when I take naps, I take 4 or 5 hour naps. So I don't know what the hell that was. I don't know if it was just overextending myself or if I'm getting too big or whatever. So I'm going to start in the mornings going out because I live on a cul-de-sac. My apartment building is set up to where it's on a cul-de-sac around some other houses back in a little subdivision street. So I'm going to start walking the little circle there and hopefully that'll... But I don't know. I honestly wasn't even sure if I was going to be able to do this tonight because I was in so much pain.
Yeah, that's definitely not good, dude.
Yeah, no.
You're better now, though, right?
Yeah, I'm feeling a little bit better now. I was developing a headache, but I took some Excedrin to curb that. Let's see, what else has been going on with me? We're still promoting the hell out of the ToyCast contest. That's still going on. I believe we have 5 entries. I think that's right. And, of course, the blogger and the man from the future do not count. But I may actually, when we eventually do ToyCast 50, I may actually put those in a separate voicemail clip within the episode. I'm not sure yet how that's going to work. The episode 50 contest, basically, all you got to do is call into the voicemail line or email us an MP3. Either you can do a toy review or you can just say, hey, I enjoy the show or whatever, and you're entered to win. It'll be a random draw by General Techno. He will be giving away 1 Recon Ravage. So that'll be very, very good. The deadline for that is March 29th. The voicemail number is 502-526-5821. Let's see what else with me. I was recently on Radio Free Cybertron episode. I don't know what number. It's the episode for St. Patrick's Day or whatever, March 17th. And I was also on New Soundwave, which will be out, I think. By the time this airs, it'll already be out, but it'll be out this coming Friday. So, yeah, that was pretty cool. That was fun.
Yeah.
I told Brian Kilby that I'd probably would like to do that in the future more, if they'll have me on, if they have a place, because I don't know, like, I can barely juggle the three of us, or three people in general on a podcast. He was juggling, like, six, seven people.
Yeah, they have a big cast.
Yeah.
But they pull it off.
Oh, yeah, very much so. So that's what's been going on with me. Do we have anything else we want to bring up in general chat?
No.
No.
All right, let's get into some episodes.
Good thing you didn't just blast this bee.
Well, I would have, but it was carrying one of Air Razor's feathers.
Sides! He missed.
Yeah, that too.
Prime. Here goes.
Hey, it's Tigatron!
Attention, Maximals! This is a Code 1 emergency message from Tigatron. Air Razor has been damaged. She and I are trapped on a mysterious flying island. This island is a self-contained ecosystem guarded by powerful weapons of alien design. Black Arachne and Scorponok have already managed to invade. If they gain control of the island and its weapons, the Predacons will be able to destroy the Maximo base.
What?
And win the Beast Wars!
Next time on Beast Wars.
Evacuate Maximo base! Scramble! Scramble!
The Predacons have almost reached the obelisk. We must stop them!
For power!
May I be forgiven for what I must do.
First up today, actually, we're going to be doing things a little bit differently this episode. Because the Trigger is a two-parter, we are going to be discussing it as one long episode. So, the synopsis for part one. Patrolling the Arctic regions alone, Tigatron is taken by surprise when Waspinator and Pterosaur attack. The Maximal Scout is thrown off a cliff by Predacon missiles and rifle blasts, seemingly falls through a huge cloud, blowing over a deep chasm. Tigatron is shocked when he awakens on a firm ground within the cloud on a giant, temperate, floating island. First note was... this is just one of those little nitpicks for me. Wait. As Tigatron reports in, and he starts getting attacked by Waspinator and Pterosaur, when the two of them transform, they don't say terrorize. They just transform.
Oh.
What the hell?
They were thinking it.
Yeah, mental telepathy, yeah. When Air Razor is using her X-ray vision, when her eyeball moves and changes little shape, that it was like, you know, pupils dilating or something, just the whole scanner thing in her eye, that was creepy seeing that to me.
That reminded me a lot of Bayformers. The way their iris is kind of like multiple saw blades rotating around each other.
Yes. I like the reuse of the Cyber Bee. So this is the second time we've seen a Cyber Bee, Steve?
Yes.
Yes.
It'll be... I believe it's the second out of three times we'll see one.
Oh, okay. You know, stating the obvious here, this is most definitely a Tigatron Air Razor episode. For the two-parter.
More Tigatron, though.
Well, Air Razor comes in the second part, for the most part.
Yeah, I was definitely thinking it was more Tigatron than Air Razor. I mean, I like them both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, of course, I like how... My final note for this one is I like how Cheetor is worried about his fellow Catbot. It kind of goes back to what you were... Have we already covered the episode where the two of them were captured and they swung through the cages to get free? I don't remember.
Wasn't that the probe?
It might have been. I don't
remember. I remember Big Cat, Little Cat from the Spark.
Yeah. But there was an episode where the two of them got captured. Tigatron got captured and then Cheetor got captured. And they were in these cages side by side, and they started swinging to and from, because all the Predacons had left the base. I don't remember which episode it was.
I don't think that was happened yet in the timeline that we're covering.
I'm not sure. What about you, Steve? What have you got for the part one for the trigger?
You get to see Pterosaur has these awesome cannons.
Yeah, those were cool.
The bullet bill.
Yeah.
The snarling dud.
Yeah, with the teeth and the smile or the eyeballs on it.
Yeah. You know what's funny is that after that you start seeing some of the toys have missiles that have little smiling or snarling teeth and eyes.
Yeah.
Got one on my desk here. I'm not entirely sure whose it is.
I like how they reprogrammed the Cyber Bee to do something other than spy on the Maximals.
Or be a virus.
Yeah.
They have multiple purposes.
Yeah, they had the Predacam. It was like watching Tigatron on YouTube.
Wow, chicka, wow, wow.
I like how they... When the scene where they where Cheetor says, where Optimus goes, you know, it's lucky you didn't just shoot this, and then Rattrap's like, sides, he missed, and he's like, yeah, that too. Poor Cheetor. Cheetor just can't get a break. I mean, he's surprised.
I felt bad for him because he's like all slumped. He's like, yeah, and his whole body just visibly slumped.
Yeah, I know.
I suck. I can't shoot the broadside of a barn.
What I like about that episode, though, is when they start playing the video message and Tigatron's like, attention Maximals, they almost all stand up and salute him. They just, all of them, Prime and everybody else around him, they just kind of stiffen when he says attention Maximals. And they, for a second there, I was waiting for all of them to salute the damn video image.
Oh. Maybe normally he says, what up, dudes? And this time, he's like, oh, are you serious? Holy crap, what's he want now?
Yeah. So, Steve, do you have anything else?
Rhinox tells him that something's weird about one of the moons.
One of the moons is hollow.
Yeah.
Or he thinks it's hollow.
Because it's very, very, very light.
Yeah.
It's like a feather.
Well, it's interesting foreshadowing for later on.
Looking like a moon?
It's no moon. That's a space station.
It's a Death Star.
And it's got an obelisk on it.
I know that we've had, like, beginnings of the alien life stuff. Like, obviously, the Stonehenge thing.
Right.
But would you say that this episode, this two-parter, kind of cements the introduction of the alien life?
Yeah, I think so. Because, I mean, they pretty much say it's alien in origin. And whatever built that, most likely, built the moon, because there was another obelisk on the moon, and it's hollow.
Yeah.
They didn't actually say, oh, whatever built that also built Stonehenge. But I'm sure it's tied in somehow.
Yeah.
They should have thrown that as an additional line. In that, oh, remember that Stonehenge thing? I bet. Or put Stonehenge rocks on the floating cloud thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that would have tied it in nicely.
Yeah, that's true.
But they didn't.
Hmm. What else you got, Steve?
Dig deep.
In your face.
Wait, what? What in your face?
He said whatever. Dig deep, and I says in your face.
Whatever he's digging. I don't know. I guess that depends on what he's digging.
Gold. Anyways,
Dingleberries.
A peppermint mine.
Waspinator has a, actually, he's Hegatron showing up. He's like, Waspinator, love victims that are punctual.
And he sounded just like that, too.
Boy, I so have to go back. I've already got the quote for this episode, and it'll come in part two. I'll mention it, but I so have to go back and grab the part where Waspinator says, Waspinator wants his head.
His head. I think
that
my favorite line.
Badly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, my favorite line was when Rhinox lays down the law. Now, all the Maximals are starting to jump on each other, and Rhinox is like, "Hey, not now!" And they all go, "Whoa!" I like that. As a father, I find it important to hone skills like that. When your kids get out of line, it's like, there goes the foot. Putting the foot down.
Or when Auntie Katie says something stupid.
Actually, it's usually Auntie Cassie that says something stupid. Katie's pretty got a head on her shoulders, you know.
Well, wasn't she the one that said the S word and Aiden was behind the couch? Tell me that story.
It might have been. if he's lurking somewhere, who can tell, you know?
So they said shit in your face.
Yeah, shit coming out of your mouth is okay, but shit in my mouth is bad? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's what we're saying. No shit Tasty. In your mouth. If shit comes out of your mouth, we're having trouble, all right? We're going to go round over this one.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Did you notice Scorponok's pelvic thrust?
No, I don't think so.
He's like, oh, I got a real blaster, and he's thrusting his pelvis.
Turns black arachnia.
I suppose if you're going to be pelvic thrusting, that would be where to point it.
And he says, I'll pelvic thrust your blaster.
Because make it stop. I like the damage model on Pterosaur. Pterosaur got just a shit beat out of him by that flying mountain.
He got boned.
Yeah, he got nailed hard and put away wet. And by the time he got back to the base, his wings are all tore up and there's sparks flying off him and he's all burnt.
He's twitching too.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't the same damage model that he was sporting earlier, but I mean this was like a newer, better one.
Mm-hmm.
I know Waspinator was a little bent out of shape, but not as bad as Pterosaur.
Yeah, no. Well, you know, I think that goes back to the fact that Pterosaur is the Starscream of Beast Wars, of the three seasons of the actual Beast Wars series. Of course, you know, Beast Machines, whatever, but, you know, it just goes to show you how much punishment he goes through because he is the Starscream version in this incarnation of the Transformers, and it's like, wow, how many times can his head fly off and land in the ground and just have like that in your, it's almost like that kid, like the night that we were on the video camera here, my hand was like covering the camera, it's like, ah, how many times can you have that same shot?
As many as it takes.
Exactly.
As long as it's funny.
Yeah.
As long as it's funny watching him lose his head, it's going to happen again.
For some odd reason, you know, some of these episodes with Pterosaur losing his head, I'm just waiting for the Red Queen. Off with his head!
Or whatever you prefer.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you can't put that back on once it comes off.
Yeah.
It's a can of worms you don't want to let out.
Mm-hmm. Non-refundable.
That's right. So at the end, we see the Tower of Doom.
Dun dun dun!
And the awesome cliffhanger with Tigatron saying, "The Predacons will destroy the Maximal Base and win the Beast Wars!"
You know, it's funny you mention that because this is the first episode I was able to use the next time, previous time.
On
Beast Wars. For the part one audio, which people would have already heard by the time that they're listening to this, but the audio, I cut it off right as the synopsis for the next episode, like, is like Primal's like, next time on Beast Wars, and then there's all that audio. It cuts off after that, but I don't know. This is a very cool first parter. I mean, I think one of the reasons why I don't have a whole lot of notes is because I just started watching it. And it was like, for some strange reason, when I watch these episodes to review them, yes, I will make notes, but it's like, wow, they're, at least in my own opinion, the cartoon is a lot better than I originally thought back in the 90s. Not saying that I thought it was bad back then, but it's just, I wasn't into it then, as I am now, obviously. So it's kind of like reflection looking back.
Well, and also a nice part about the episode is it starts showing all those alien symbols.
Now that comes back into play later?
Yes.
Ah.
And it's like, ooh, there's a trap space there.
Yeah, all those little alien symbols end up on that gold disc, and they also end up in that little floating fortress that Megatron controls in Season 2.
Yeah.
Floating fortress?
The one that he forms to make look like his head.
Oh, you mean in Beast Machines?
No, in Beast Wars.
Oh, okay.
So the giant
right.
Megatron noggin is a recurring theme?
Yes.
Yes. Wow, we did that almost in stereo.
Now in stereo.
What else do we have for notes here on this first part?
I noticed that the Maximal's got a new skylight. I had never noticed that before. Normally they have to leave through the chute in the ground and then the floor, but now got like the skylight that opens up and he just flies out through the hole in the ceiling.
Yeah. For a second there, I thought you were referencing maybe someone, one of the Predacons, getting thrown either out of or into the Maximal base, making a skylight.
Oh no! This was literally, it just opens up like a door.
Yeah. I remember seeing that now.
It was too much effort to animate them actually going down the elevator there and then popping out or something.
But it kind of makes sense, though, for Prime anyway.
Yeah, well, and at least once Airazor leaves that way, too, so...
Yeah.
I mean, if you've only got, two flyers, I suppose it's worth it to put a skylight in.
Well, you'll have three eventually once we go transmetal.
Yeah, but we haven't seen a skylight in the Predacon ship yet. Actually, I don't think I've ever seen them enter or leave the Predacon ship. They're just always in there.
Yeah. I don't think we've seen them really leave either.
Yeah.
That's odd.
Oh. I liked it when Scorponok cooked Airazor's goose.
Ew.
Well, no, he like hammered her and all that was left was feathers.
It wasn't. Was it Scorponok or was it Pterosaur?
No, I'm pretty sure it was Scorponok. You got her with a missile.
Is this still in part one or part two?
Part one, yeah.
Oh, I'm thinking the aerial battle in part two.
That's when she got hit so bad that she couldn't fly afterwards.
Oh, that's... Okay, yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, there was just...
I got it.
It's like she blew up, and then there's a feather, and then there's more feathers, and then there's a bunch of feathers, and...
Yeah.
It's like, holy crap, I think she's dead.
Mm-hmm.
And she just came online, like an episode ago. She's dead already.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but no, she wasn't completely dead. I'm not dead. I feel happy. I think I'll go for a Tigatron ride now.
No, that's not till the second part of the episode.
That's part two.
Yeah, are we ready for part two, or do we have more to say about part one?
Bring on part two.
I'm good. Let's talk about Riding the Tiger.
Okay. The Trigger Part 2. The race for the prize begins as the Maximals and the Predacons head towards the mysterious obelisk at the far end of the floating island. Black Arachnia claims victory and interfaces with the device, channeling the full power of this artifact and the island itself. But what is the island's purpose, and how does it relate to the mysterious artifacts seen all over this planet? Like I said before, I only have two notes for this one.
Slacker.
Shut up. Rat Trap is always the in-flight passenger. Where's the movie? Because he's always riding Optimus.
He's riding on his back.
Yep.
Wouldn't he get his tail singed like that?
Yeah, I wonder.
Because they're flying, and he's kind of perched there, and I see, like, they've got this rocket exhaust, you know, the fire coming out of his rocket packs, and there's his tail kind of hanging between them.
Yep.
And I'm thinking, that tail, he's going to have fricassee tail for dinner. That does not look like it would feel good.
Yes. And my other note was, I know this isn't where Black Arachnia got her transmetal form, but when I first saw this, I thought it was. Because of the color scheme? Because of the color shift, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was interesting that, you know, when she became ruler of the tower, you know, she turned silver, kind of the same way that Rhinox turned silver in Dark Designs.
Mm-hmm.
It's like now she's more evil than before. You know, but no, I like the way she looked, and I thought that was another missed repaint opportunity.
Yeah, there's totally surprisingly no toy of those.
Yeah, I would have gone back and bought, a black and silver, Black Arachnia. That would have been very cool.
Yeah. What else you got, Michael?
Well, in the very beginning, now that we've already talked about how it ends, back at the very beginning, when they're like, last time on, and I'm thinking, yeah, you know what, I just watched it, I know, I don't need the 5-minute recap, just let me know how it happened. Let me know what happened. They went on drone through it anyway.
That's why they make fast-forward buttons, Michael.
Yeah, but then I might miss something. I don't want to do that.
You're complaining about having to watch a 5-minute recap, but yet you don't want to fast-forward through the 5-minute recap because you're going to miss something. Make up your damn mind.
I will suffer through it. But then, you know, once we get past the intro, right, we have an invalid air razor. And she's like, I can't walk, I can't fly. And Tigertron says, then the lady shall ride a tiger.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, wow, chicka, wow, wow. Ride that tiger. Ride that tiger into town. Better watch out, or you're going to fall down. Mm-hmm. And you know, to add insult to injury, she rides side saddle. Very feminine. I kind of thought, how cool is this going to be? She's going to be like this hawk, and she's going to straddle him, and it's going to be like this tiger with wings, right? No.
That's what I thought, too, yeah. I was like, wait, she's riding sides? What the fuck?
Yeah. I thought, you know, now it's going to look like he's got two wings on the same side of his body. That's just going to be lame. Yeah, she should be, well, God. It sounds so dirty like that. She should be straddling him, and you know, I mean, at least.
Well, at least if she was straddling him, it would have foreshadowed their combined transsexual form later.
They are very big on the foreshadowing here, so I'm surprised they didn't try that. That really would have been cool to have.
Yeah.
That would have been very cool to have. This episode was big on googly eyes.
Yep.
Big googly eyes where Pterosaur gets in close and he kind of tweaks Rat Trap.
Yeah.
Yeah, he gets big googly eyes there. But he gets saddled instead.
Yeah.
Pterosaur getting. It's like, you know, Optimus isn't the only one with a rat on his back. Like he was bad when he had a monkey on his back. Now he's got a.
The actual quote for this episode, I mentioned it earlier, that I'm probably going to have to go back where Waspinator says, "I want his head." The actual quote for this episode is where he says to Pterosaur, "Pterodactyl, idiot!"
Yeah. Pterosaur never learns.
No.
He's just like, I wonder why I got my ass shot off in the last episode. Could it be because I'm using energy weapons? And what does he do this episode? He opens up with the energy weapons. But Waspinator caught it, and he's the dumbest one on the show.
Well, you know, something I'm noticing, because I'm just browsing the wiki for this episode. Megatron is absent in this entire episode. He is not shown at all.
Huh. Yeah, I guess you're right.
Well, I know I'm right, because it's not listed in the wiki under the episode where it says featured characters.
Yeah.
Because the numbers indicate order of appearance, and under the Predacon side, you have Black Arachne, Scorponok, Pterosaur, and Waspinator.
Well, this is all about, you know, the various Predacons trying to gain power that they all strive for.
No, I know, but I mean, you would think that the leader of the Predacons, who, you know, you would think that Megatron would show up somewhere.
Yeah, I was going to say, didn't Megatron send them there? But he would have been in part one, not part
Yeah,
two.
He was in part one.
Yeah.
He was in part one. He's not in part two.
Huh. He may have been in there when, in the original draft or something, but just didn't make the cut.
Yeah, Megatron can't be a football player this year.
Yeah. Well, they had to cut him for all the explosions. Black Arachnia takes over, and there's nothing but just, you know, laser fire.
What did you guys think of her voice change when she took over?
That was kind of cool.
I think it became a little more, you know, godlike, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, very true.
But, that's what I thought was strange, was that, you know, every time the tower fired, it would have to have a warm-up period. And she actually mentioned at one point, oh, we have to get in there while it's warming up. Or recycling, or whatever the term was. But then when she takes over, it doesn't need to warm up anymore. She's just blindly firing all over the place. Which didn't make much sense to me, because, you know, I understand that she's trying to shoot the Maximals, but there's only a few of them on the island, and they're pretty close to the tower. She's just blasting the whole island just for fun.
Yep.
It didn't make any sense, but I'm thinking, you know, Michael Bay went back in time and directed this episode.
No.
He said, I need more explosions. I'm going to need a butt ton of explosions on this episode, because that's my thing. And next thing you know, you've got her firing blindly all over the island. I was surprised that, you know, this never-ending torrent of fire that she's raining on the island didn't destroy it. You know, it actually took Tigertron to blow up the engines before it was destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
But the crash was epic. That was a very cool crash.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I thought they did a really good job animating that.
Oh, yes, they did. What about you, Steve? What do you think?
I like how they inverted Black Arachnia, and yet again, no repaint.
Yeah.
Which would have been cool to see had they actually had the correct, or had a good toy base instead of basically a repaint of Tarantulas.
Yeah, you know, if the toy would look more like the TV version, that would be worth, I don't know, maybe sending over to Frenzy Rumble and having them give us a good one.
Yeah, you know, it was something that you and I touched on when we talked about, this is actually us coming from the future again, when we recorded Toy 51, where I talked about Air Razor's Fox Kids repaint toy. The fact that she has no face, and the fact that she's not cartoon accurate at all whatsoever.
Yeah.
You know, it just goes to show you that, you know, I don't
think there was a Transmetal Air Razor in the show.
No, there wasn't. But what I'm saying is that at least have something that's cartoon accurate of Air Razor, whether it's her regular face or whatever, but I don't know.
Well, I think that the, and I'm, yeah, was about to say, I'm looking right at it. I think that the non-transmittal version of Airazor is more cartoon accurate.
Oh, okay. Well, I haven't seen that, so...
I've got it right here in front of me. I'm trying to kneel down and look at it without actually...
ripping the headset out of your ear.
Exactly. It doesn't quite stretch all the way across my room to my shelves, but...
Yes.
But, yeah, actually, my Airazor is, like, front and center right here on the other side of the glass, but I just can't seem to see. It looks like I have little kid fingerprints on my glass, so I can't see her very well.
What else about this one, Steve? You got anything else you want to talk about?
I like how they actually had Black Arachnia and some kind of a power thing basically running the show for once. Oh. Instead of having, like, Terror Sword try and steal the power, whereas this is, like, it's not even like she's trying to gain control of the Predacon. She's just wanting power for herself in whatever means she can get it.
Yeah.
I think it turned out pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, overall, I mean, the two-parter itself, it was a good story. I didn't really have any issues with any of just the overall plot lines. I find it very difficult to believe that Tigatron could have survived the radar thing falling on him, but, you know, in part one, but just overall, it was a good story. It wasn't like I couldn't...
It's clear that he was pushed into the snow underneath it, though.
True.
It's kind of like, you know, when someone's being chased by a steamroller, and they get pressed down on top of the, or under the steamroller wheel, and it's thinking, oh, you know they're dead, but they're not really dead because they're pressed into the cement.
I should so have the Judge Doom squeaky voice put in that little space right there.
Yeah.
You remember me, Eddie, when I killed your brother? I look just like this!
Yeah.
Oh, boy. So I think that's going to do it for the Trigger two-parter.
Oh, you forgot to mention that at the end, they kill Mothra.
Huh?
Mothra!
The hell are you talking about?
Ah, there's this butterfly that floats around the whole episode, and at the end they kill it off. Just to show that all life is dead and paradise is now officially lost.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a little butterfly and it comes back scorched and lands at Tigatron's feet.
Oh, okay.
It goes, and dies.
Yeah, you know... Now that I'm thinking about it, there's another G1 reference to this entire episode. Well, not the entire two-parter, but at least the island. The island is pretty much the Golden Lagoon. I don't know. That's what I thought of it as well.
Yeah.
Because if you go back to the G1 episode, The Golden Lagoon, it's Beachcomber finding this totally separate, thriving place with this golden... water, sewage, whatever, you know, piss, whatever you want to call it, outside of the battleground that's going on across the wall of the mountain. Same thing with this, it's just, the only difference is that it's a floating island, but it's pretty much the same thing. And silence.
Yeah, you completely lost me. Alright, sure, I'll buy that.
Alright, anyway, that's it for this episode. We'll be back with the outro.
They were all scrap, but the defenses! And your leg! Hey, leave it to the rat! I'll handle it. You just run! Yeah! Listen up, you oversized thumbtack! Try a little taste of this!
Yes! Do it, Tigatron!
Maximal base almost in range. 5, 4, 3!
May I be forgiven for what I must do.
What? No! No!
Yeah!
Yeah!
What do you suppose that beam was all about?
Some kind of signal?
A message. We were given a paradise. All we had to do was live there in peace. But we proved unworthy. And the paradise is no more.
You are listening to the Beast Unleashed podcast.
Pterodactyl idiot! All right, we're back. Do you guys have any other final thoughts about the trigger before I go into the outro?
I think that Optimus should sing Narwhal.
No, shut up. We're not going into that. No. Wow, we almost made it an entire episode without bringing that crap up.
And I managed to bring up Monty Python at least once, too.
Well, I didn't even notice that, but I'm not even gonna deal with it.
Here's Team Rocket blessing on
the
kid!
Yep.
Oh!
Steve, any final relevant thoughts to this episode?
Overall, a pretty good episode, or two-parter to watch. It's not really that boring, like a couple of other episodes coming up later this season. Which I'll be able to vent on at that point, but
yes,
this is a good episode. A lot of humor in it, and a lot of foreshadowing to later.
Yeah, and poor Cheetor, man. He just, I feel so sorry for Cheetor. He just,
yeah, he's a kid.
Yeah, I know, but he just can't get a break.
He's got some growing to do yet.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us here on the Beast Unleashed podcast. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. First is you can stop by geekcastradio.com, find all the other podcasts there. Second is you can join our forums at predaconempire.com/nexus. And the third is you can leave the show feedback in iTunes. I did check this about a week ago, and we still have not received any reviews on this podcast yet in iTunes, which kind of sucks. Get on your asses, people, or get off your asses, whatever you want to call it.
There are
I'm
asses.
On my ass.
Yeah, they're always on your ass, Steve. Anyway,
we
now have a voicemail line. Call us and leave us your thoughts on each episode. Be sure to say which show you're leaving a message for and your name. The number is 502-526-5821. Don't forget the ToyCast Episode 50 contest is still going on. The deadline for that is March 29th. You just basically either call in and say, you know, whatever you want to say about ToyCast, or you can do your own toy review. It doesn't matter what kind of toy it is. We have Twitter. The show name there is Beast Unleashed. Mine is TFG on Mike. Steve, what is your Twitter?
SCP21.
And Michael?
Pecan Court Michael.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Beast Unleashed podcast and wish you'll join us next time when we will be reviewing three more episodes from Beast Wars Season 1. Those being Spider's Game, Call of the Wild, and Dark Voyage. For now,
there's an episode called Oh Crap?
No.
There should be. Oh wait, there is.
Yeah, we'll get to that, Steve. You can just leave. You just hang on, and we'll get to the low road. For now, I am TFG and Mike with
Steve Michael Megatron Phillips
and Michael Wilson.
Close the show, Megatron.
Speaking out of turn.
I'll show you the low road. Excellent. Yes.
This is Megatron, and you're listening to the Beast Unleashed podcast. Oh yes.
Oh,